Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
City offices close on December 23rd and December 26th. City of Odessa offices will be closed Friday and Monday for Christmas. There will be no trash service these days. Thursday routes will be serviced on Wednesday and Friday routes on Thursday. The City of Odessa Household Hazardous Waste Facility will be closed Friday through Monday. To avoid an overflowing accumulation of trash and debris in dumpsters, citizens are asked to recycle items at the Odessa Recycle Center located at 816 West 42nd Street. Drop off windows for cardboard, plastic, paper, aluminum, and tin cans are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Trash, debris, and bulky items piled next to the alley dumpsters is illegal and prevents these solid waste trucks from being able to pick up the containers when service resumes. During the holiday period, city trash receptacles should be reserved for perishable items only. OPD makes arrest in parking lot alleged assault. Nearly 10 months after one Ireland elementary school parent accused another of running him over, an arrest has been made. According to an Odessa Police Department report, police received a fight call from Ireland Elementary School around 3:20 p.m. March 3rd. When officers arrived, a dad told him that he was trying to get into the pickup line for his child but had to make a turnaround due to the long line. While trying to make the turn, he got in front of a Ford F-350, and the driver, later identified as Robert Stedham, got upset because he thought he was cutting in line. The man told officers Stedham, 42, became verbally abusive, broke his partially opened front passenger window, and grabbed him by the jacket. According to the report, the man said he got out of his Chevrolet Equinox and slipped out of his jacket and tried to stop Stedham from leaving by standing in front of the Ford, but Stedham intentionally hit him with the truck, causing him to fall. Two other parents told officers they saw Stedham hit the man, the report stated. An officer who interviewed the man while he was being treated by paramedics wrote in his report, "The man's right foot was swollen and bruised, and he was bleeding from an open wound on his leg." Stedham admitted to confronting the other man about cutting in line and breaking the window, but denied hitting him with his truck, the report stated. Stedham was indicted December 13th on a single charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He was booked into the Ector County Jail Friday and released the same day after posting a $50,000 surety bond. Student says gun was an ORBI. An Odessa High School senior who was arrested last week on suspicion of exhibiting a firearm told authorities it was an ORBI, the type of gun that shoots gel balls, water pellets, and splatter balls. According to an Ector County Independent School District report, officers were sent to OHS Friday after learning a video was being circulated showing someone with a gun on school property pointing it at a building, vehicles, and homes. The school was locked down and officers realized the video was shot in the southeast parking lot near 11th Street and Golder Avenue, the report stated. An officer identified as Lanier Alex Fonseca Hernandez as the person in the video, and after being read his Miranda warning, Fonseca said he shot the video with some friends on December 1st and used an ORBI gun. Fonseca was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting a $1,500 surety bond. Swearing-in ceremony set. Ector County will be holding a swearing-in ceremony for the newly elected county officials at 10 a.m. January 2nd, 2023, in the Ector County Commissioner's Courtroom, Located at 1010 East 8th Street, Odessa, Room 120, the public is invited to attend the ceremony. Obituary for December 20th. Terry Blaine Allen. It is with great sadness that the Allen Leha family announced the death of Terry Blaine Allen, 53. Funeral services celebrating his life will be held on Wednesday, December 21st at 2 p.m. in the chapel at Elliott Hamill Funeral Home, 5701 Highway 277 South in Abilene. Interment will follow in Denton Valley Cemetery. Visitation will be held on Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m., also Elliott Hamill Funeral Home. The family will honor his life at a later date in Odessa as well. Terry was born in Abilene to Marvin Doyle Allen and the late Francis Arnetta Wetzel Allen. Terry was preceded in death by his mother, Francis Annetta Wetzel Allen, paternal grandfather, George Paul Allen, maternal grandparents, Preston and Marie Wetzel, and Aunt Paula Kelso. He is survived by his beloved wife, Gloria Allen, children Cody, Leha, Marisa, and Blaine Allen, father Doyle Allen, grandmother Maddie Phillips, siblings Gary Allen and Sandra Janetta McKnight, Chris Hallway, and numerous grandchildren and in-laws. The family would also like to thank the cancer team at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston for their ongoing support. For more information or to leave condolences, please visit at elliotthamill.com. Death notices. Carol Clay, 81, died Saturday, December 17th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Mary Nell Hurst, 91, died Wednesday, December 14th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Juanita Jackson McDaniel. Juanita Jackson McDaniel, 90, of Odessa, died Friday, December 16th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. December 21st at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial following at Hector County Cemetery. Pastor Renee Phillips will be officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Midland. Wendell Bruce Mays, 71, died Sunday, November 27th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Nyla Rich, 89, died Tuesday, November 29th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Wanda Vaughn, 90, died Friday, December 16th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. William Williams, 65, died Sunday, December 18th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Opinion. Community makes pitch for Worship Center. Community Worship Center matters in Midland. Hello, everyone. I would like to share my thoughts about Community Worship Center, CWC, and how important this church will be for the community. CWC is a place to worship with all people, God's people, connecting people of all walks of life, doing God's will, people who want to change their life and are looking for a church to belong to, with a pastor who cares, can give. Teens who are lost in the world and have never experienced God's presence in their life and want to change their life, CWC is the place to be. Our members give many times over and over again. We all know Pastor Ed and First Lady Latoya have a heart of gold. They are always reaching out to the community with the love of God. That's their motto. It's their will to do, God's will, and it's God's will for CWC to be built. They are always willing to help our community. prayers for the people and their salvation are their greatest concerns. They also help people in the community with paying rent and utilities, as well as helping other organizations with need-based donations whenever they need them. Every year, CWC gives out school supplies, clothes, and free food for those in the community who attend Community Fest. Pastor Ed has been called on so many times to preach the funerals of family members whose loved ones have passed on with no church home. He has no building for these services, but with the support of other pastors and their church buildings, he's been able to utilize their space for funeral services. He also provided meals after the funeral for family and friends with no cost to the families. He relies on his church members, who are always willing to help out. Pastor Ed does all these things without hesitation. It's God's will. This is what Pastor Ed loves to do, and if there has ever been a time Pastor Ed has helped you in any way, now is the time to show him that same love and your willingness to give as he has given to so many of us. Give what you can. It doesn't matter what you give. It is appreciated, and it is God's will for this church to be built. As I passed by the lot where CWC will be built, I always say it is God's will and it shall be done. Thank you all for giving what you can. Pastor Ed, First Lady LaToya, and all the CWC members cannot wait to see you at the new Community Worship Center soon. Remember, when you give from your heart, it will always come back to you. Wilma Green. Ed Mayberry is Shepherd for Midlanders. Grace and peace in Christ our Lord. It's my pleasure to write to you about my friend and fellow shepherd, Reverend Ed Mayberry. The Bible commends pastors to be shepherds. For those they lead, shepherds provide abundantly for their care, act with compassion and love with an unselfish heart, protect sacrificially, love unselfishly, and correct as needed. Ed fits this bill in every form. He is a passionate pastor who cares well for his church and for our community. His heart for serving Christ and people is clear. His zeal for serving Midland, especially South and East Midland, is just as clear. He has served in a variety of roles for the Midland Chamber of Commerce and is a frequent volunteer for civic and community events. In Ed, I've found a Christ-centered, gracious shepherd who has one big need, a facility. Ed has served well without a building, and there's no doubt in my mind he will continue to do so. But to have a building to honor God and serve South Midland more effectively would be an asset to all of us in Midland. My prayer is for the grace and provision of the Lord to lead people who can and should give to this important work. I'm glad to serve with Ed, and look forward to seeing his church family in their new building. Your servant, Darren M. Wood, First Baptist Church Pastor. Mayor-elect says, consider partnering with CWC. Throughout my life in Midland, I have watched our local churches respond faithfully to the needs of our community. I am thankful to live in a city with so many nonprofits and churches which are growing and thriving. Recently, I have learned of the efforts of the Community Worship Center to build a new building on their property at 1401 Cuthbert. Ed Mayberry is leading the fundraising efforts and has shared the Community Worship Center's vision for Phase 1 of their development. They hope to first build a basketball gym, which can serve as their worship center on the weekends, but can then provide a community center and childcare opportunity for the community during the week. Their vision embodies their faithfulness to the surrounding neighborhoods and their willingness to prioritize caring well for people. As Midlanders are considering different opportunities for support and financial giving, I hope you will take a look at the efforts of the Community Worship Center and consider partnering with them as they seek to better serve their surrounding neighborhoods. Lori Blong, City of Midland Mayor-elect. CWC has impact in East and South Midland. Community Worship Center has had a significant impact on community members living in East and South Midland. Pastor Mayberry and his wife have been a light to our city, provided educational opportunities for people seeking employment, actively serve as a safe place for our youth to gain guidance, and so much more. Many of us have had the privilege to witness the blessings they have provided through their ministry, fellowship, and resources. I fully support Pastor Mayberry and his desire to build his church right here in District 2. Their impact will be treasured for generations to come. Midland Councilman John Norman, District 2. CWC provides for food for people in need. For communities of color, the church has historically been more than a place for spiritual fulfillment. In the days when a gathering of people of color to discuss the important issues of the times was met with great hostility, those people sought refuge and strength in the protective walls of the sanctuary. Church and community have a symbiotic relationship, which is the reason my community needs the Community Worship Center. Since my return to Midland in 2015, I have witnessed the ministry led by Ed and Latoya Mayberry take on the multiple challenges we face in Northeast and South Midland. They provide meals, mentor children and adults, and provide school supplies to those in need. They deliver messages of hope and God's love. The most impressive part of what they do is they usually do it from the parking lot of a rented building. I can only imagine what they could do in their own facility. Hopefully, we will not have to imagine much longer. God has blessed the Mayberries with a vision. They can see a church and facility that will allow the Community Worship Center to serve our community even further. They can see a place that welcomes everyone to know the joy that comes with a relationship with the Lord. Vision is important, but vision is lost without the means to make those visions a reality. This project is so vital to our community. It is my sincere hope and prayer that others will share in the vision and join me to help bring it to fruition. Courtney J. Ratliff.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, December 19th. Toy safety should be top of mind. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. I am so telling my age with this one, but does anyone else remember lawn darts? For those of you who don't know what lawn darts were, they were a very popular outdoor game back in the 70s, but they were only on shelves for about 2 years. It was a mix of the game of darts and horseshoes. Basically, you had a ring as a target and threw a lawn dart at the target for points. The big problem with this game is the lawn dart was shaped like a traditional dart but weighed about 5 pounds. Can you imagine a game where kids are purposefully throwing 5-pound sharp-pointed objects? There is a reason that game was not on the shelves for long. I cannot imagine some of the injuries that resulted. I would love to say lawn darts are the last toy I remember being unsafe, but that is not the case. Toy safety is something we all still need to think about, especially as many of the toys we have access to these days, because of the Internet, do not meet U.S. safety standards. As you are purchasing and opening gifts this week, please think about toy safety. Consumer Reports has some great guidelines for toy safety. First, look at age-appropriate toys. For example, U.S. standards bar toys that have small parts, including parts that can be easily broken off for kids under age 3. That is because kids under age 3 love to put things in their mouths, and small parts can be a choking hazard. A small part is defined as anything that fits completely into a tube slightly smaller than a toilet paper tube. Also consider small parts for older children if they have younger children around who might be able to interact with the small parts of the older child's toys. Watch for lead in toys. Fidget spinners are notorious for containing high amounts of lead, even when they may meet other safety guidelines, so make sure any fidget spinner is labeled as safe for kids under age 12. Those toys will have been tested for appropriate lead levels. Other metal toys, particularly those imported from outside the U.S., may contain high lead levels as well. Beware of magnets, particularly small, high-powered magnets. The Federal Toy Standard bars any magnets for kids under age 14 with a flux index, that is a measure of force a magnet applies, greater than 50 square kilos per square millimeter, that is small enough to also fall under the small parts standard for anyone. The reason is, if two of those magnets are swallowed, they can come together in the intestines and cause horrible damage. That damage can mean surgeons may have to remove portions of the intestines, which can lead to dietary and body image issues in children, or damage so severe it cannot be repaired and lead to death. Riding toys, particularly non-motorized scooters, cause the most toy-related injuries and cause nearly half of all toy-related deaths. Every non-motorized scooter death involved a motor vehicle, so if your child received one of these toys, make sure they are not riding on streets with cars. They also need to have the right safety gear to accompany their scooter, a properly sized helmet, and elbow and knee pads. Watch for recalls on toys. Sometimes toys get out there, and we find out there are safety issues because of things like battery problems. Remember the lithium-ion battery fires in phones several years ago. Or how kids play with them versus their intended use, like with lawn darts. Make sure you are keeping an eye and ear out for toy recalls. I hope this week is filled with joy for you and your family. As always, have fun, and please be safe. Happy holidays.
Do meds cause the bagginess under my eyes? Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 68-year-old man. I have been taking olmesartan, hydrochlorothiazide, and atorvastatin for many years. My issue is the bags under my eyes. They seem to get larger as I get older. Are the medications causing the bagginess? GY. Answer, bags under the eyes are caused by weakening tissue in and under the skin, sometimes by excess fluid in the loose tissues under the eye. Bags under the eyes are extremely common as people age. At age 68, they are expected. Neither of these medicines are likely to be causing this problem. Good sleep, excellent skin care, not smoking, and avoiding excess salt are likely to be helpful.
This is the Dear Abby column. Sister tries to navigate couple's pending divorce. Dear Abby, my brother and his husband are getting ready to file for divorce. Before they do, however, they are embarking on a very expensive trip to Italy. It was paid for before the divorce conversation started. When they travel, I fly into the town where we both grew up, watch their home and dogs, and spend time with old friends. Because of the difficulties facing travelers at this time, I like to come into town a few days early in case there are any delays with my flight, so none of us has to worry about the dogs being alone. I arrived last night. My brother left for the weekend to spend time with his new gent, and my brother-in-law has invited his new gent over for dinner tonight. My concept of etiquette demands that I be friendly and welcoming of these new people in my brother's and brother-in-law's life. However, it is awkward. Yes, I know divorce happens, but my brother-in-law is just as much a part of my family in my eyes as my brother. Are there any rules or thoughts regarding these new relationships as marriages end and new relationships begin? Signed, Supportive Sister in Arizona. Dear Sister, your brother and his almost former husband appear to be handling their soon-to-be dissolution in a civil manner. very civil if they're talking a pre-divorce European vacation together. If they part as friends, your chances of maintaining a friendship with your almost former BIL are better. Keep an open mind, and be gracious when you meet the new man in your brother's life. Avoid gossip, cross your fingers, and hope for the best for everyone. That's all you can do. From the tone of your letter, I am sure you can handle this, sis. Dear Abby, my 57-year-old husband is consumed with watching videos on his cell phone. This is like an addiction for him. He spends hour after hour of his home time with his phone in his hand watching all kinds of videos. I have tried talking to him, mentioning that this distraction is taking away from any time we have together. His response to me is a blank look, nothing more. I told him once that if we had a child, we certainly would not allow our child to spend anywhere near as much time watching videos on the phone, tablet, or computer. Again, a blank look. He doesn't regard his excessive screen time as a problem. I certainly do. What can I do or say? I'm at the end of my rope. Signed, Second to the Screen. Dear Second, your husband gives you a blank look because he's so engrossed in this entertainment he doesn't realize how much time he's actually spending on his cell phone. By the way, he isn't alone in having that problem. It's shared by people of all ages. The reasons can range from being caught in email hell for hours to using it as a deliberate escape from reality. Because you have reached the end of your rope and have become virtually a widow, tell your husband that if he wants to continue being married, he must consent to marriage counseling. And if he gives you another blank look, consult a lawyer. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.